Alan Kring Productions presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 1 for Autumn Semester 2016. Lecture 25, delivered on December 6, 2016. The title of this lecture is Optimal Capital Structure.
Today, Optimal Capital Structure. I just gave this gentleman some capital that I'm going to need later. I am going to give this young woman some equity that I'm going to need later. Now, you notice that yours is nice, you know, change, big coins. Yours is kind of a mix of coins, nickels, dimes, quarters, things like that. Well, the reason is because equity comes from two places. One place it comes from is that messy, messy world called sales. That's why it's nickels and dimes at first. Now, if you run out of money from your profit, you can go out there and raise money by selling more stock. Debt comes right from investors. So equity would have the messy part. One part would be the change that you make. And the other part would be that clean stuff that the investment bankers come to the table with through equity offerings for on your behalf. Debt comes only from the investment bankers through debt securities that you issue to borrow money for long-term projects. Okay. There's a curious part to all of this, though. Excuse me. I keep hoping I'll die, but I keep staying alive here. If I just cough that tumor up. Anyway, look. Okay. Debt is cheaper than equity. I mean, this was that thing that I gave you, the case of D after taxes is your case of D that you borrow at times 1 minus your marginal tax rate. So there's your cost of debt. It's not only cheaper because the lenders don't expect as much in return because they get first dibs on money that comes to the company, but it's also cheaper because it's tax deductible. Remember, there are two reasons why debt is cheaper than equity, at least in theory. Now, equity comes in those two flavors I just talked about. There is that internally generated equity that belongs to your existing shareholders. What is at the bottom line? Your free cash flow. Once you've paid your debt holders, all of your bills, you've paid your salaries, you've paid your electric bill, you've paid your interest expenses on your loans from investors, that money you get to keep. But it's actually costly to you because that belongs to your investors, your equity investors, your existing shareholders. That's their money. You are merely the steward as a corporation. You can give it to them as dividends, or you can give it to them as plowback to build their capital gains on their stock to grow the company. But there's case of S and there is the new equity. Now, just as a quick side, you don't have to know this formula. I'm not going to test you on it. But do you remember long ago that I showed you how you could calculate the price of a stock at right now could be calculated as the dividend 1 period out times the discount rate for the stock minus the growth rate of the dividends? You remember that formula? It's like a constant growth perpetuity. I showed that to you quite a while back. And again, I'm not expecting you to write this down right now, but I do want you to show you what I'm doing here. I can turn this formula around. I can actually turn this formula around and get you the cost of equity. Watch. If I grind this thing around, I can take K sub S with a little bit of algebra is D1 over P0 plus the growth rate. Okay? That is the cost of equity. Just an algebraic rearrangement. Cross multiply and then add the G to both sides. But I want you to notice something about that. As the price of the stock goes down, your cost of equity goes up. As you pay more dividends, your cost of equity goes up. As your growth rate of your company increases, your cost of equity goes up. Equity is expensive as hell, and this is just your existing shareholders. Now, if I want to throw in new shareholders, if I want to see what the cost of new shareholder equity would be, I have to say, well, this company isn't, you're not talking about P0 anymore. You're talking about P0 minus the float that you have to pay the investment bankers to get that stock for you, to get that stock money for you. It's even worse. See, that minus F, that makes that denominator smaller, makes the whole fraction bigger. Equity is expensive. Existing equity is bad. New equity is worse. I mean, you can talk about 20. I mean, it's not unusual to see 20% for existing equity, 22%, 24% for new equity. That's not unusual. Debt, you're talking about a coupon rate of 8% times 1 minus your tax rate. A lot nicer. Remember that the higher the tax rate of the corporation, higher the marginal tax rate, the more attractive debt gets. Well, here is the question that was posed long time ago by two of the gods of finance and economics. Now, they posed it as sort of a challenge question. They said, okay, if debt is cheaper than equity, why would we ever see a corporation that had any stock outstanding? Why would you ever have shareholders if shareholders are more expensive than debt holders to you? In other words, sort of the whole foundation of the concept of a corporation doesn't make sense. The corporation means they're stockholders. But stockholders are expensive to a corporation. Why would we see corporations that have stockholders? In fact, most corporations have more equity than debt. 20% debt, 80% equity. 30% debt, 70% equity. Why would we see something like that if equity is more expensive than debt? In other words, these two economists, their names were Modigliani and Miller. Again, you don't need to know that. They said, okay, here is the percent of debt in the capital structure. Remember, the capital structure is the combination of debt and equity that comprises the total assets of the firm. Okay, the percent of debt. If you have 0% debt, then your cost of capital, your weighted average cost of capital, should be just purely your cost of equity. In other words, if you don't have any debt in your capital structure, your cost of your capital is just the cost of your shareholders. But if you had all debt in your capital structure, then your cost, weighted average cost of capital, should be your cost, after-tax cost of debt. In other words, the more debt you have in your capital structure as a percentage of total assets, the cheaper your weighted average cost of capital should be. In other words, this should be a straight downsloping line, and no corporation in its right mind should be anywhere but down there at the cost of debt. It shouldn't have shareholders. Modigliani and Miller said, why do we see shareholders? If this obvious theory is right, if this obvious theoretical model is right, why would we ever see an equity shareholder in a corporation if debt is cheaper than equity? Well, here's how the real world works, and I actually saw this when I was a consultant. Debt is not always cheaper than equity. When I was first in consulting, one of my first clients, I was helping them raise some debt capital. It was just a bank, and it was like a bank loan. And the bank just laid it out like this. I didn't know this kind of stuff. They said, all right, we're going to charge you 8.6% for anywhere from $0 to $250,000. In other words, they were building a line of credit with what they were doing. They were going to tap into the money during the lean months, and then when they, borrow money, like a credit card, and then during the fat months, they would pay it back down. It's called working capital arrangements. Banks do these all the time. But then they said 12.4% for $250,000 to $500,000. And then a staggering 22.0%, and these actually were the numbers they were quoting. This was a long time ago, though, for any borrowings in excess of $500,000. In other words, the more debt the company was taking on, the riskier the bank was assessing the company to be, because it was more likely that the sales would dip below what would pay the interest payments. So in other words, it was a tiered debt structure. And once I got into consulting more heavily and did a lot more, I saw this all the time. The more you borrowed, the higher the interest rate got for a corporation. So in other words, in the real world, the cost of debt, if you were 100%, this case of D is not a static number. At some point, the cost of debt starts to impact higher. It gets larger and larger. So in the real world, what essentially happens is that the company probably would never make it to 100% debt because it would just be staggeringly expensive. Banks, lenders, bond buyers would never lend at 100%. You're a 100% company. Interestingly enough, though, back in the 1990s, there were companies that were 100% debt. It was staggering the interest rates they were paying. But they figured that 100% debt, they didn't answer to any shareholders, and they could just quickly make a lot of money and then pay off these debts. And other companies, to take over, to do hostile takeovers, they borrowed massive amounts of money. You know, 80% debt to equity ratio, debt to total asset ratios. Those were called LBOs, leveraged buyouts. And of course, things didn't go well almost ever in those kinds of deals. Let me show you something, though. Well, if we actually do calculate weighted average cost of capital of real companies, they do look like this. So it's not a parabola. It's something more like, if you remember, they're like catenaries or hyperbolas. But anyway, real world percent debt in capital structure of a weighted average cost of capital. Yeah, it does. If you have no debt, then your weighted average cost of capital is simply your cost of stock, cost of equity. Very expensive. And at first, as you borrow money, yeah, you get cheap debt. But somewhere along the line, the debt starts getting expensive. The bank says, oh, you want to borrow more? We're going to charge you a higher interest rate on the marginal debt, on the extra. We see this all the time. But papers are written all the time on this. The bottoming out point is hugely important for a company. Where is our lowest weighted average cost of capital? This bottoming out point that we even have a name for it. It's called our optimal capital structure. Optimal capital structure. The optimal capital structure is the combination of debt and equity financing a firm that minimizes the weighted average cost of capital. The optimal capital structure is the combination of debt and equity for the firm that minimizes the weighted average cost of capital. Now, let me say that one more time. And I'll leave it to you to understand why I keep saying the same thing over and over.
I don't know. You can't think of anything else to say, teacher?
No. The optimal capital structure is the combination of debt and equity for a firm that minimizes its weighted average cost of capital. Do you follow me? And why I repeated that three full times? Here's the deal. Let me explain to you how important this is. You see, there is a sweet spot of debt and equity. And companies actually, they calculate it. If they can't calculate it, they have someone who can do it. And I actually did this for some companies. Estimated. I mean, you're never going to be perfect. But it is so important that a company will drift off a company will have a natural tendency to drift off this point. A company will have a natural tendency to drift off that point. See, because if a company over time, think of it this way. Over time, a company will, if it's doing okay, it'll make money. It'll have enough at its bottom line that it doesn't have to raise debt. It doesn't have to borrow money. It doesn't have to borrow lots of money. It doesn't have to do a stock offering. So what will happen over time, interestingly enough, more often than not, you'll see the company's actual capital structure drift this way. Yeah. You know what? That's a good question. I did run into companies that had never done, they'd done it sometime in the past, but almost always you'll see companies on a 3 to 5 year budget cycle. And I'll tell you what that means is that if in that review they find that they are off, they'll actually just go out and borrow money just because it will realign their optimal capital structure. As a matter of fact, I even saw an offering, a prospectus for a new stock offering of a company. It already had stock and debt. It said right in the stock prospectus, we are selling this stock to reattain optimal capital structure. They literally didn't need the money. They just sold stock so that they would go, they were too far out here on the debt, and they sold stock to pull themselves back this way on it. And that was after a 5 year budget review that had happened. Because they had some real fresh numbers in there on projections. So I smelled 3 or 5 year, it looked like a 5 year review. And that's an excellent question. And it becomes part of, and I've seen actual kind of like fights about it. Why are we going to go borrow money when we don't need money? Because we are not on our optimal capital structure. We are actually have a higher weighted average cost of capital than we should have. And that is not in the shareholders' interests to do that. So, interestingly enough, in your lives, right now, you are in a complex process of using debt to enhance equity in your cells. As time goes on, the value of your equity will begin to go up against the value of debt. When you come out of here, your debt load is going to be pretty bad for a lot of you. But what will happen is you will have invested in equity, internally generated equity. You will get a high-paying job. You will then bring in equity dollars, internally generated equity dollars to yourself. Cells. So you will move toward your optimal capital structure as time goes on. People, unless under economic stress, they will, individual family households will go off the consumer equivalent of optimal quite frequently. But you also see a natural tendency, even though most human beings would have no idea what I mean by optimal capital structure, you see a natural tendency. In fact, even before companies did a lot of these quantitative calculations, we saw the companies tended toward what would have been their weighted average cost of capital. There's an internal sense. You know when you've got too much debt. You know when you've got too much stock compared to your debt. It's like you have a feeling if you're a good business person. But it's also much better if you do the calculations to know exactly what it is. So there is essentially the setup. We have an optimal capital structure. And we try to stay on it. In every budgeting decision, we try to maintain the optimal capital structure for our projects. Now, at the beginning of this class, I gave this student a pile of money. It had some loose change and it had some nice quarters in it, okay? And I gave this gentleman all clean quarters because her money, the money she has, is the equity. Some of it was raised as free cash flow from sales, the bottom line, internally generated equity. Some of it she would use later. So essentially when a company begins to spend money on capital projects, it will stay on its optimal capital structure. It will use internally generated capital and its cheapest debt. And then eventually if it needs more money, it won't raise stock money right away, because that's extremely expensive. It'll probably go to the next tier level of debt and keep borrowing, because it'll still be cheaper. Eventually, though, debt will get too expensive, so then they'll go out and sell stock, which is extremely expensive. But as long as the projects are returning more than the cost, you'll just keep plowing. As long as your weighted average cost of capital is less than the last project you're going to take on, you're just going to keep doing this. Expensive debt, selling stock, those are terribly expensive things, but if you've got projects that can handle it, whatever. So ultimately, madam and sir, you are in charge of disbursements of money. You disperse internally generated equity dollars. You disperse debt dollars. And this is cheap debt at first. So we'll stay on the first level of cheap debt. And let's say that this company's optimal capital structure, OCS, is 25% debt and 75% equity. This company is a horse and buggy carriage company. They give people pony rides, horse rides. Now, everyone loves a horse ride, right? But we have to have something more than just a sign. We have to have a carriage and a horse. And unfortunately, the horse died last year and the carriage broke, so we got to buy a new one. So what we're going to do is that carriage is going to cost $1. And it's going to cost 25 cents for the horse and 75 cents for the carriage. Okay? Now, the thing here is that, now, if it costs $1, I'm going to need 75 cents. Do you have 75 cents in loose change? No, start with the coin. Start with the coin, the cheap stuff. You have to start with the internally generated because that's the cheapest equity you have. Okay, then you'll have to pull out a quarter. Okay, that's fine. Now, sir, do you have the rest of it? Okay, good. How hard is it to count 79? Okay. And now we can buy the carriage and the horse. And we're in business. I can't breathe. But you see, God, I have bad breath. But you see that you can't just spend a dollar. If you just spend a dollar from her or from him, you would go off your optimal capital structure. As long as you are... Oh, God. As long as you spend the 25% debt, 75% equity on your projects, you stay on your optimal capital structure. That's how companies do it. They use their actual optimal capital structure to tell how much of the debt and how much of the equity. Now, there's only one question left. Madam, do you know why we use only 25 cents of debt? Because I am a quarter horse.
Oh, God, that feels good.
So remember, this is horse sense. When you are spending in a corporation, you don't just spend money. You actually decide, okay, how much is this project going to cost? What's our optimal capital structure? So you pull money according to the optimal capital structure. If you're 75% equity, then it's 75 cents of every dollar will come from your earnings. And 25% will come from the debt. And then when you've run out of that debt, you go to the next tier of debt. When you run through that debt, then you start selling stock, which is extremely expensive. But again, as long as your optimal capital structure is maintained, then you are at the minimum of your weighted average cost of capital. Don't mock me. That's all I have for you today. I thank you.